When you're born, when you have children, when you get when you have little children, they depend on you, and then they get to be teenagers, and they teach you, you know, and then you get married, and then you have children, and then they get married, and they have children. Each part of life is a challenge, and over the last few years, I've noticed a little bit of change in my wife, and we are now seeing that she's in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and so that's another little challenge. It's still life. It doesn't mean she's got leprosy, but we're now having to determine some things in our life as to whether we continue in the ministry or what. So that's kind of where we are this morning. And I'm determined. I just don't accept the diagnosis of incurable. You know, that leaves out a certain dimension, and that is God. I know that He can do all things. He can bring her back to 30 years old. He can give us strength to bear the load. And we just believe I'm going to start scheduling meetings for 2010 and so on. I believe God's going to put that all together. But it's a new adventure. And so what I've determined I'm going to do is everywhere I go, we're not going to hide in a shelter like some people do. If you've got Alzheimer's, come out in the open. You don't have leprosy. And if you don't know what Alzheimer's is all about, you better learn, because there's lots of people you can minister to if you understand what's going on. And since we've kind of exposed and said she has Alzheimer's, people have said to me, don't you dare say that about her. Don't you embarrass her. But we found just the opposite. She's been able to minister to other people who have it. And unfortunately, many people scatter like she's got leprosy. Well, shame on us. You need to learn what it's all about. So anyhow, long story short, that's where my wife is. She's down in Pensacola. She doesn't know what day it is. She has to have other people help her find church. And so it's a little bit of a challenge. Well, look in your Bible to Hebrews 3. And everybody's going through some tough time today, aren't they? You know, it might be, how many of you ever gone through tough times? How many don't believe in raising hands? You just... I ain't raised my hand for 36 years. Well, big whoopee. But you might be going through some financial tough times, physical tough times, maybe mental, social tough times. But God has given us all the grace we need to go through whatever you're going through. God's grace is sufficient. And today, what I want to do in this first session, I want to kind of pick up on the business of order. Ordering. I'm going to deal with the important subject, important element that we all have, and that is time. I believe today many of us are going to go through life, and we're going to wish we'd managed our life, our time. And I'm going to deal with that a number of ways, but this morning, I want you to look at Hebrews 3, and I'm going to kind of zip through this, so listen quickly. I'm going to give you a test. Seems like everybody's giving you a test from the pulpit, okay? I know there were 7 hymns in there. He just missed one. I go all the way back to some of those hymns that he didn't know. And some of those things he said were hymns from back in 1812. Okay, Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. I want to read 5 verses. And I hope you have your Bible open. I hope you don't just come to church and listen, because you leave and you say, it was my opinion. No, it's God's word we're preaching at this church, okay? So Hebrews, I'm going to read about 5 verses, and I want you to look for something. I want to look for 2 words repeated 3 times, at least 3 times. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, verse 7 of Hebrews 3, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In verse 13, but exhort one another daily. We ought to come to church and be exhorted. That's the idea, not come to have your tickle your ears tickled, make you feel good. In fact, when I come to church, I expect I'm going to leave not feeling good. Why? Because there's sin in my life. There's things I need to improve and be more like Christ. And I hope today you'll say, exhort me, brother. And I won't do it. The Holy Spirit will. But if you leave without being exhorted, you haven't gotten your money's worth. You ought to be exhorted, reproved, corrected, and instructed. Why? Because I want to be more like Christ today. I want to have more victory in my life. I want to be more zealous for God. I believe God is sick and tired of apathy and indifference and passivity and just dull Christians. You know, sometimes I come to church and they're dull. I think I turned right into the cemetery instead of left into church. I say, isn't God great? And they kind of look at you, duh, you know. I couldn't say anything that'd make you mad. I hope today the Holy Spirit gets something. I know I'm going to get something, because the Holy Spirit said he's going to work in me as the word of God is preached. So, but exhort one another daily. What should we exalt? Exhort. While it's called today. Today. I think you're getting it already. Today. Today. The song was sung this morning, and not by accident, but it emphasized today. 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 Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you don't do what God says for you to do today, your response will be, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And you will establish a pattern in your life that whenever the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. But I want to impress on your heart this morning, you never do anything tomorrow. You never do anything tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, it's today. Now, when tomorrow comes, it's today. So the only things that you ever accomplish in your life are done when the time is called today. And I believe many of us waste our life because we have the pattern of thinking, I'm going to do it. Oh, we don't say, I'm not going to do it. We know that would be wrong. We say, I'm going to do it tomorrow or later or when I get around to it. And God says, listen, if you do that, your heart will be hardened. In other words, you become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when he says, do something, and you say, I'll do it tomorrow. Then he says, do it again. I'll do it tomorrow. And each time we say that, our heart is hardened in that pattern of doing it tomorrow. And you never do anything tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, it's today. And each time we do that, there's a little hardening of the heart. We stiff arm the Holy Spirit. We say, I want to do it, but I'm going to do it tomorrow or later or when we get around to it, until we get to the spot. And don't you remember, as a new convert, when the Holy Spirit said to do something to you, boy, you were zealous and you quickly ran out and did it. But now, because you learned to do it tomorrow, you sit there, as we sit there as older Christians, and our response has been hardened to the Holy Spirit until it's nigh unto impossible for the Holy Spirit ever to reach our hardened heart. And it says in the Bible, beware of that. Beware of that. We need to get to the business of when the Holy Spirit speaks, we run. Make one mistake too many times. I have determined, and I've gotten my heart hardened. I've learned how to respond to the Holy Spirit by hanging on to the seat and making all kinds of excuses. I'll do it when I understand it better. I'll do it when I get time. I don't want to be hasty to obey God. And my heart gets hardened. And we have a situation in many of our churches where it's not the thing to do to respond. It's the thing to do to hang on and resist to the Holy Spirit. So I've determined that when the Holy Spirit speaks, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it today. And lately I've been coming to the altar more than I did for a number of years. And I've had people come to me and say, what's the matter? Sin in your life? Yeah. Yeah. There's things in my life I need to deal with, and I'm going to deal with it today. Today. Now, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit always says come to the altar, but I tell you what, there's something he's going to speak to you about today that you need to do today. Today. Now you think with me this morning, and I haven't read all the verses, but it goes on to say in verse 15, today, today if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Chapter 4, verse 7, he says, again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you'll hear. And of course, in Scripture, when the word hear is given in the old Hebrew connotation, hear did not mean did you get the vibrations of sound, but you hear in such a way that it resulted in doing. Hear, harden not your heart. When? Today. Today. And I would suggest that if there's anything that ought to echo in our mind as a result of this service today, is that we recognize we better do what we're going to do today. 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 Now, think with me for a moment. Maybe let's just take about 60 seconds. You know there's something that the Holy Spirit has told you to do, and you've been putting it off. You say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But you haven't done it because somehow it was I'm going to do it someday. And that's, now the Holy Spirit speaks to you again, you hardly hear His voice because your heart's been hardened. And we deny ourselves of the privilege of of influencing other people. We deny ourselves the privilege of building rewards in heaven and making our life count for Christ here on earth. But we need to do it today. Today. Now, there's three segments to time. There's yesterday. Think on that for a moment. There's today. And then there's tomorrow. Now, the only person that can live in all three spots at the same time is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. And yet there's so many times, you know what we do today? Our life is consumed with yesterday. Especially as we get older, you know, we take out the old photo albums and we sit there on the sofa and we say, oh, Mama, remember what it was like in the old days? And get out of yesterday and get in today. You can't do anything about tomorrow. You can make restitution and repentance, but when are you going to do that? You're going to do it today. You can't repent yesterday. We're driving down the road, and I say to my wife, I should have. She says, go ahead, should have. You can't should have. The word should have is a deceptive word. You can't should have. Go ahead, should have. It can't be done. But then the other thing we do with today is we focus on tomorrow I will. You never do anything tomorrow because when it's tomorrow, it's called today. That's why the Bible says if you're lost and headed for hell, you're under the wrath of God, facing the sure judgment of God. You're not a friend of God. You're an enemy of God until you get saved. And you know that you need to get saved. You know that Christ died for you. You know that he paid a price he did not owe for you who owe a price you cannot pay. You know that. You know you need to run to Him for salvation. But you've been putting it off. Let me challenge you. Do it today. Do it today. Some of you know you ought to obey your parents. You ought to be submissive. You ought to do the things of God, the principles of God in your life. But you've been putting them off and you say, I'm going to do it someday when I understand. But do it today. Would you do that today? Do it today. You know you need to get baptized. The Bible tells us we ought to. You know you ought to tithe. You know you ought to go soul winning. You ought to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And we intend to do it. But it just doesn't seem right we get around to it. Let me say, do it today. You know that you ought to sit down and take time with your children and put priorities right instead of all of your selfish ambitions in life first and see your children go astray and then weep and mourn and grieve. If you're going to see your children walk the straight path, it means you need to put your priorities right and your life in order and do what you need to do. Do it today. The Bible says we ought to do it according to Ecclesiastes. We ought to do it now. Now. Today, before the dimness of the eyes. What does that mean? Before, you know, you have to, I just went down to the dollar store the other day and got one of these magnifying glasses because I can't read the things on the back of the prescriptions anymore. I'm sitting here, you know. Yeah, remember, some of you are sitting there and you say, man, I can see around corners. I don't need glasses. Yeah, big whoopee. But then you have to get glasses and then you get bifocals and then you get, hey, this isn't hard. Talk to me. And then you get trifocals, right? Then you get four focals, and then you get thick lenses, and then you get thicker lenses. You need to have somebody carry your glasses around. Bible says, do what you need to do. Do it before the dimness of eyes. Do it before you no longer have pleasure in life. Ecclesiastes 12:1. You know, I remember I've done so many things. I've been hang gliding in Aschaffenburg, Germany. I've been, rappelling and we've done this rapid whitewater rapping. I said, now I can barely get in bed and find time for pleasure. I got to put on my hearing aids and my hair. Forgot to do that this morning, but before do it today before you shake and tremble. It says that in the Word of God. My says so many things that we need to do it today. Today, before you shake and tremble. You shake and tremble? Hold my hands out. Everybody hold your hands out. How many are kind of shaking a little bit? You may not today, but it'll come. Do it before you shake and tremble. And you wobble and your balance isn't good. Do it today before your friends pass away. Now, I don't know about some of you guys and ladies around here, but what do you read in the newspaper? Yeah, the obituaries. That's where I find my friends. They're all gone, you know. Hey, do what you're going to do today. Now, I know we sit there and we say, I got all of life. Yeah, no, you don't. You don't know that you'll step out of that back door. And it's only done what's done by the power of God that will last for eternity. I want to do what I'm doing, do it today. And we're determined we'll not quit on the todays. We're not going to quit on the todays. We may have to go slower. We may creak a little bit when we do it. We may have to remember it 3-4 times. But I tell you, we're going to keep on doing it. One today at another time. And we're going to do it today. Now, the Bible warns us about time. Let me give you some quick pictures about time. Boy, the Bible is very specific in illustrations. If you turn back in your Bible to the book of Job, look at Job chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 7. And if we'll just heed these things, God's trying to say one thing. He says, time is brief. Time is brief. In verse 7, he says, oh, remember that my life is wind. Put it down. Life is wind. Next time you step outside and the wind's blowing, remember, time is brief. I was in Long Island, in New York, holding meetings, and the preacher said, I've got a sailboat. Let's go sailing in the Long Island Sound. I guess you know where that is here, New York. You know the Long Island Sound's about 40 miles wide from Long Island to Connecticut. And so he hoisted a sail. And we went out to the middle of the Long Island Sound, and all of a sudden the wind stopped. I tell you, you're dead in the water if you don't have a motor and paddle with a sailboat. What's the illustration? You better take advantage of the wind time while it's still here. It's here, and then it's gone. And then in chapter 7, verse 9, it's like a cloud. It's consumed and vanisheth away. Are you hearing what God said in his book to you? Time is short. It's here and gone. Here, and then it's gone. And then in chapter 8, verse 12, all kinds of illustrations in here. We're only touching some, but verse 12, while it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withers before any herb. A plant is here and gone. We have 33 plants in our backyard. We have a little house, first house we've had in a long time, 35 years we traveled, never had a house, and we're trying to see what that's like. It's 857 square feet. It's all we need. I think there's an illustration of ordering your life, clear out the clutter. We don't need a lot of temporal, worldly things in our life. We're here to count for eternity. It's here and gone. But we have 33 plants. One of my favorite plants is a lilac bush. You like lilac bushes? Boy, I do. You know the fragrance. But you never think about how long the lilac blossoms last? How long do the lilac blossoms last? Maybe a week, yeah. I asked that question one time of a bunch of second grade girls. I said, how long do lilac blossoms last? She said, till they fall off. I smacked her. Well, you know, she was right. They're here and they're gone. Your life is like the lilac blossoms. They're here and they're gone. The myrtle bush tree, here and gone. Here and gone. Can we hear what God's telling us? Our life is here and it's gone. And the only time you're going to count for eternity or influence somebody is to do what you're going to do today. I don't mean be hectic. I don't mean be busier, but prioritize and clean out the clutter so that todays are filled with things that count for Christ and eternity. Chapter 9, verse 25. He said, now my days are swift. Aren't your days swift? Swifter than a post. I read that. I said, I've never seen a swift post. What's a swift post? Well, a post has to do with a messenger. You know, we go to the post office. That's where they deliver messages. I still remember a messenger from the old days. How many of you rode in the Pony Express? You know, here comes a Pony Express rider. He goes to the station, hops off the horse, gets another horse, and away he goes. Somebody said, where's the post, the messenger? Oh, he was here and he was gone. That's what life is like. It's here, and then it's gone. And then in Chapter 9, verse 26 says, days are passed away as a swift ship. I remember I was to basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky. They put me on a plane, sent me to San Francisco. We hopped on a USS MiGs, 3,000 on a troop ship. And we took 11 days to travel over to Yokohama and then go to Korea. And I remember as we were traveling across the Pacific Ocean, I'd look over here and I'd see we're going that way and a ship coming this way. And it was like, it's here and then it's gone. It's a swift ship. Maybe a way to see it in today's environment would say a swift ship, a swift plane. I mean, you've flown up about 7 miles up in the air, 35,000 feet, and you're humming along going this way 600 miles an hour, and you nudge your buddy and you say, hey, look at that plane. And he looks over, he says, what plane? Plane going 600 miles an hour this way, another one going this way. It's here, and then it's gone. Time is brief. And then it says a swift eagle. Boy, does God, why did he put this in here? So we would recognize that time is brief. It's here, and then it's gone. And whatever that the Holy Spirit's been bugging you about, you know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit bugs. We say, well, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it when I get around to it. And we've done that over and over and over, and our days go by empty of that which counts for eternity as swift eagles. I remember we had meetings in Alaska, on Kenai Peninsula, at the Princess Canal, Princess Hotel, Cooper's Landing. And my, what a beautiful sight up in the mountains. We looked down, all around us were evergreen trees. And in the evergreen trees were perched eagles. Ah, man, hundreds of eagles. What a sight. And then every once in a while, one of those eagles would launch off from one of those trees and swoop down and grasp a salmon and fly off into the horizon. And where'd he go? He was here. And then he was gone. That's what life is like. Well, the Bible also tells us that life, he says, I come quickly. I come as a thief in the night. My God warns us. And what are we doing with that time that God has given us? He placed us here to carry out a mission, and we're fiddling away and procrastinating and hardening our heart. And when the time comes that we see him, are we going to say mission accomplished, or I was going to do it someday? I was going to do it someday. He says, I come as a thief in the night. You ever know of a thief that gave you a 2-day notice, says, I'm coming Thursday? When he's here, that's it. When Jesus comes, that's it. No notices. He comes as a travail of a woman. Travail of a woman. If you know, ladies, when you're expecting, you don't tell the doctor when you're going to deliver, unless it's a cesarean section. My wife was expecting a baby one year, December 31st, pains, close together. We said, hallelujah, another deduction. The pain stopped and the baby was born, 12th of January. You don't know. You don't know. There will be no reruns. There will be no replays. There will be no overtimes. You don't know how many quarters are in the game of your life. In a basketball game, you know there's 4 quarters, but in life, the game is over when the whistle blows. The referee blows the whistle. You might be ready for a whistle to blow. I don't know how long I have. I know a number of years ago, I wish I hadn't procrastinated. It says in Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved. You know, the Holy Spirit, I believe every time you hear the word of God, God loves us enough to reprove us because we're not where we should be. And the Holy Spirit reproves us. I know God reproved me. I don't like reproof, but I know that it's good for me because there are many things in my life I'm not dealing with like I ought to, and the Holy Spirit says, get at it. And if I be often reproved and stiffen my neck, suddenly I'll be destroyed and without a remedy. What do I mean, destroy? It means that it'll almost be impossible for me to ever respond because I've hardened my neck. You know what I'm talking about. Many of us as God's people, we come to church and God, the Holy Spirit says, you need to deal with that matter. And we kind of press our foot on his reproof and abort the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And each time we do that, there gets to be a little callousness in our consciousness and we lose that sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit wants us to accomplish. Without remedy. It becomes a way of life. And we know that we should spend time with our children, honor our parents, confess our faults, but we keep putting it off. I remember when I came back from Korea, they stationed me at Fort Lewis, Washington. And I had 6 months to go. At the end of the 6 months, I was discharged. I lived in Saginaw, Michigan. I needed some way to come get from Fort Lewis, Washington to Saginaw, Michigan. Could have taken a bus, a plane, walked, horseback, you know, whatever way. But there was one fellow there, he too was discharged, and he also lived in Saginaw, Michigan. He had a car. He said, Rube, I've got a car. Why don't you join with me? Share the driving, share the expense. I says, okay. So we hopped in the car in Seattle, Washington, and got in the car, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to talk to him about a soul. He needs Christ. He's lost, headed for hell. There's no hope unless he turns to Christ. I said, I'll talk to him when we get to Idaho. We got to Idaho, and the Holy Spirit said, tell him I love him. I paid a price I did not owe, for he who owed a price he could not pay. I paid an awful death on the cross. I was buried and resurrected that he might have life and life anew. I said, I'll talk to him when I get to Yellowstone. We got to Yellowstone the last day. The park was open October 30th. We spent about 4 hours traveling through the pretty park. And the Holy Spirit said while we were traveling through there, you need to tell him that I came to give him eternal life, a home in heaven, and that I want to come in and move into his life and be his life, that he might have victory and be a overcomer. I said, I'll do it. Are you with me? When I get to Sheridan, Wyoming. Got to Sheridan, Wyoming, and I called home, and there was a need for me to fly home. I flew home. 2 weeks later, I was reading the Saginaw News. And it told a story about this fella having been water skiing on Sanford Lake. Hit a stump. And was killed instantly. I don't know how many times I've thought, oh, if I'd only done it today. While it was still today. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about today, but whatever it is, don't procrastinate and harden your heart, but say, God, help me to do it today. It might be that you want to have somebody else help you. We need each other to exhort and encourage one another because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We'll put it off and doom ourselves if we're lost to eternity in hell. And if we really understood what we're facing without Christ, I believe we'd run to the altar. We wouldn't bow our heads. We wouldn't turn the lights out because if we understood our destitute and desperate condition without the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd even run before the preaching was done. And I believe today, if we recognize that we need to prioritize our life and cast out the clutter of our life so that we can help our children grow up and be what God would have them be so that the lost can get saved through our testimony, I believe we'd scramble and act on it today. And so what I want to do in closing, I want to have the pianist come and play. We'll not sing. We don't need marching music. We need to respond to obedience to the tug of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you ought to respond, and I'm not going to try to dictate or suggest. But I believe some of us need to just drive a stake at the altar and say, God, I've been putting off. I've been putting off. I've been putting off. I'm tired of procrastinating, hardening my heart. I need to do it today. So let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is going to play, it doesn't matter what, but listen, would you respond? Even come now without the music. God, help me to do what I need to do today. Would you come with heads bowed, eyes closed this morning? Would you come? Yes, many coming. Would you come? Just let God have his way. It's a good thing. He's on your side. Why fight the one who wants to benefit you? Would you come?